three, two, one, and go. Hello, everyone. I'm Ryan from Fireside Knicks, and in today's episode, we have a very exciting situation going on here. We have Justin for his first podcast for the Fireside Knicks page, and we're very excited to have him on. We're very excited to bring him on. You'll be seeing his face frequently on the YouTube page. You'll see him also. You've been seeing him probably also on ESM with his article, so make sure you guys check that out. Show him some love there. We're very excited for today's episode. Obviously, we'll be talking about the power forward position if you didn't read the title. The Knicks traded Obi Toppin. That's the situation that I felt like we all expected to happen at some point in the offseason. I don't think the Knicks were going to run it back with him, especially considering the lack of minutes available at the power forward position. But they'll still be in need of a backup power forward. Now, whether they split minutes with the guys they have currently on the roster and kind of get a little bit weird there, or whether they add a guy, the Knicks seem to be pretty interested in adding someone. I don't think they're opposed to the idea of like having RJ or Josh Hart play some minutes there, but I think they'd be a little more comfortable with just a direct backup, especially considering, you know, Randall's coming off of a surgery. You know, you never know how that foot is going to react to the start of the season. Basketball is a very, it's an easy sport for you to mess up your knee, mess up something. There's a lot of contact there involved as well. So there's a lot for us to talk about. And, you know, with that being said, I'm very glad. I'm very happy to be able to say this. Justin, how are you doing today, my friend? And tell us a little bit about how you feel about the power forward position and some guys you want us to keep an eye out for.
Well, I'm doing good today. Thanks for asking. And about power forward, I mean, you know, internally, I'm not really against having Josh Hart play some spot minutes at the backup four because, okay, he's a guard, yeah, but he plays a lot bigger than his size. I mean, we had Obi Toppin as the backup power forward for the last 2-3 years now. And, you know, quite frankly, he don't play like a big power forward like Randall does, for example. You know, he comes in the game and he leaks out on fast breaks. He gets transition buckets. He's not really like an imposing big body, you know what I mean? So like a lot of people are like, oh, if we play Josh Hart at the four, we're going small, this, that, that, and the other. But Josh Hart plays a lot bigger than his size. I mean, Obi Toppin averaged 3 rebounds over his time with the Knicks. I mean, like, that's not all that. I mean, I know he didn't play a whole lot, but like, okay, he can't really rebound. There's not a whole lot of defense going on, especially on the interior. I think playing Hart at the backup four isn't the worst idea. I think they just traded away Obi Toppin, and then we signed Dante DiVincenzo. And I think DiVincenzo to Toppin is a significant skill upgrade. You know what I mean? I think the Knicks got better doing that. So, I mean, I'm not against internally doing it. I know some people have mentioned Isaiah Roby too, but, like, I don't really think Isaiah Roby's even going to play, to be quite honest. I don't really know where that's come from. And I know some people have mentioned Sims too, but last year we saw some Sims Hartenstein minutes together, and I don't want to see that again. That was not a very good front court at all. There was no spacing. I mean, like, spacing's been a problem. It was a problem all last season. You're going to just mess it up even more doing Sims and Hartenstein. I mean, like, you're taking them both out of their own games. It's going to clog the whole paint up. No point in doing that. So, I mean, I'm personally not against doing it internally with Josh Hart, but if they were to explore options outside internally, you know, Grant Williams is intriguing. I know Dylan mentioned Jamichael Green, you know, players like that. I'm down with that, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and, you know, I just want to say, first off, I'm very excited to have my brother, Justin, on here now for the first time, and going forward, it's definitely exciting to do, and I'm really excited to work alongside him. But anyways, just to add on to your point about the power forward stuff, you know, I don't disagree. I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Hart play a little bit of the four, just because, like you said, the rebounding, he's a good rebounder, good defender, he can guard multiple positions, all that stuff. It's already an upgrade from Obi Toppin as it is. My one concern is just that, you know, he's obviously a little bit on the smaller side. You know, he's not like 6'8", he's like 6'5" or something like that. So, you know, I feel like that's going to be a little bit of a concern just for, you know, opposing, you know, when he plays other teams and they bring out bigger power forwards or teams that have size. I feel like that's going to affect him just a little bit. You know, and I've seen two people were saying to split, you know, time of like RJ and Hart at the four. It doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, I feel like defensively, it can cause a bit of issues, you know, on that side of the floor. That's my main concern, really, honestly, just defensively. I feel like it could be a bit of a mismatch. Yes, I've seen, you know, RJ handle his own a little bit before. Same thing with Josh Hart. Not saying they can't do it. It's just my concern of them doing it for a full season. It's a little bit different than doing it for, I don't know, like a 5-game stretch or for like a week or a couple weeks or something like that. You're asking them to do it for a full season. That's a lot, you know. So if they decide to go internally and play Isaiah Roby, which, like you said, I don't expect to see that. Honestly, I don't think Isaiah Roby's going to play. I'd be kind of shocked if Isaiah Roby was going to be the replacement for Obi Toppin. That would kind of just not make a lot of sense, in my opinion. So I don't really think Isaiah Roby's going to be the guy that's going to get elevated to the starting rotation or whatever. That just wouldn't make sense to me. If they're going to play a traditional power forward, they're going to go get one externally. They're going to look in the free agent market and see who's available. I know right now, with how free agency has been so far, power forward is pretty much like the main big market left. You know, not many power forwards have really signed much elsewhere yet. I would have really liked Torrey Craig, but then he signed somewhere else to, I believe it was Chicago. So we're out on Torrey Craig, obviously. Grant Williams, though, they're interested in Grant Williams. I actually wrote an article about it on EmpireSportsMedia.com this morning. I wouldn't mind Grant Williams. Yes, I know he doesn't have the best reputation, because he's had those moments where he poked the bear in Jimmy Butler and got him to pretty much make the Heat win that playoff game against them in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. He had that moment with Donovan Mitchell where he told him he was going to make both free throws and ended up missing both. So I know Grant Williams doesn't have the best rep as a player, but I don't think he's a bad NBA player by any means. I think he's a very good spot-up wing guy. I feel like he could instantly provide much more shooting on that side. And I like how, you know, he plays tough physical defense for what it's worth. Yes, he's not like, you know, an amazing defender, but, you know, he plays physical. He'll put a body on you. You know, he will try to stop you. You know, he's not exactly like a cone, because Obi Toppin, with all due respect, was an absolute cone on defense. Anytime he tried to put a body on another guy offensively, he would get burnt every time. He would get bodied down so bad down low in the low post, or he would get dusted on backdoor cuts. Like, you know, it was clearly a liability for Obi Toppin on the defensive side. So bringing in a guy like Grant Williams would definitely be an upgrade. And, you know, you don't have to sign him to too much either, but the only issue is that he is a restricted free agent, meaning that Boston can match any offer that another team gives him. So that hampers the Knicks a little bit, because they can't necessarily give him the quote-unquote biggest offer, since Boston can just match it. But what they can do is, you know, if the Knicks are able to clear some cap space by getting rid of Fournier's contract, maybe they can, you know, have enough money to afford Grant Williams for a little bit and make it a little bit more challenging for Boston to match it exactly. You know, maybe entice Grant Williams a little bit to want to come to New York if the Knicks really want him. That's, of course, if they really want him. You know, they could also go after a guy like Jamichael Green, who's also a free agent. I know Jamichael Green is a little older. He's I believe 33, so he's on the older side, of course, but I still think he's a valuable player. I think he's a good shooter. He hustles. He plays hard. You know, I think it's not like you're going to have him play a lot of minutes anyway. Like, I want to make that clear. If the Knicks do add a backup power forward, it's not like they're going to play 30 minutes. No, they're going to play like about, you know, 15 to 17, 18 minutes a game, just playing the non-Randall minutes. You know, my thing is, I just don't want to play Randall 38. Internally, that's why I personally think that, because I feel like if you run a 9-man rotation without a true traditional backup power forward, you're still asking Randall to do a whole lot, especially coming off of a surgery, and also you're asking him to do a whole lot throughout the regular season again, and you risk the possibility of not only him getting hurt again, but also him just getting tired by the time the playoffs roll around. You know, we see that this past season. You know, the Knicks looked a little lethargic in the playoffs, and I feel like a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that they played a 9-man for most of the season, and some of these guys get tired. Yes, I know the Knicks were winning games in the 9-man rotation, but you're asking them to do it again for a full 82. It's a lot. Most teams don't run a 9-man rotation for that reason. You know, so with that being said, I mean, where I stand on the power forward situation, I think they should look for their options externally. Maybe go get like a Grant Williams or a Jamichael Green. Christian Wood would be like the home run ball, but I don't think Christian Wood is going to want to only play 15 minutes. I feel like he's going to want a larger role than that, so he probably wouldn't come here. I don't really see the reasoning behind that, but you know, they don't have to go big. They can just go get someone like Grant Williams, Jamichael Green, a guy like that. I would have loved Torrey Craig. I think he would have been the perfect fit, but he signed elsewhere, so we're out on him. So the options are dwindling a little bit, but there are still options out there. I think the Knicks need to do something about it. Now, if the Knicks do nothing about it and they end up just running like Hart and RJ split in time at the backup four, like I said, that won't be the worst thing in the world. But, you know, I feel like it would be a little bit better off and have a little more stability and some depth if you add another power forward to the roster. That's kind of where I stand on it. I want to give Ryan a chance to speak, because me and Justin have taken up a lot of time. So what do you think about all that, Ryan?
Yeah, no, I mean, first off, I enjoy hearing you two talk about basketball, so I am more than happy to sit back and hear you guys talk. But, you know, with that being said, I really like what you both had to say. First off, you know, Justin, you mentioned him with Obi Toppin. He does not play like how you'd want a power forward to play. And even with minutes where he was playing with Isaiah Hartenstein, who's a great interior presence, you still felt like you were missing something there. And the Knicks defensively, not that they were a bad defensive team, but it felt like at times they couldn't get critical stops. And then having a nine-man rotation, like, that cost them in certain games in the regular season. I think of that Dallas game as one of the best examples of just everything that could go wrong going wrong. Obviously, they didn't have Brunson going into that game, and then Barrett had a finger laceration during the game, and they ran out of gas, right? Dallas was just able to storm right back. Once they tied the game, it didn't matter that overtime was left. You were already assuming that game was a loss. Not only was the momentum not on your side, but that team just, I mean, when you have, what, 7-8 guys throwing it in the rotation, that's not sustainable. Like, these guys are human. They're going to get exhausted, gassed. And, you know, we saw in the playoffs too, right? Because of the fact that Obi Toppin was the backup power forward, he was a poor fit for the starting lineup. The starting lineup is not a lineup that can take a subtraction in terms of defense and then lose some spacing as well. Those are the two things that the starting lineup struggled with at times last year. So losing Randall there really sucked. And you had to kind of rush him back. And I feel like rushing him back meant that you played a really poor version of Julius Randle out there. And I think it cost him against Miami. So, you know, having a quality backup, having, you know, the ability to not have to force guys to play through things they don't want to play through, or force guys to play when they're exhausted. Not saying that the Knicks are, like, you know, abusing their players or whatever, but these guys are going to feel inclined to play if there's no direct backup to them. You know, I think it matters. You know, you mentioned Grant Williams. I think Grant Williams would be an excellent addition for his spacing. Jamichael Green as well. Now, I wonder if Grant Williams, I wonder how much money the Knicks are going to be willing to go to for a guy who probably is just going to play around 10 to 15 minutes a game. But I know the Knicks aren't going to overpay for a guy to only play 10, 15 minutes a game. And I know that, you know, Leon Rose is typically a very patient guy. He will get the guy he wants no matter what, but he'll get the guy he wants at the price he wants. And he's very okay with waiting it out. Another guy I want to throw out there, I'm not sure if he signed yet, but I was very intrigued by Derek Jones Jr. I thought he was a guy that, you know, quite frankly, he's not going to be a difference maker, but he's already used to not playing a lot of minutes a game. He's a pretty decent defensive player, and he can shoot a little bit. Not to the extent where you're looking at like a Jamichael Green or Grant Williams, where those two are great floor spacers. They are guys you do not leave open on the perimeter, whereas you're okay with leaving Jones open on the perimeter, but he does add a defensive presence. He is a smaller power forward, but right now, I mean, the way I view it is, would I rather have Derek Jones Jr. or nothing? I think I'd rather have Derek Jones Jr. He did decline his option with the Bulls. The Bulls then signed Torrey Craig, so you kind of feel like a reunion with Chicago is in the cards. So you kind of feel like you have a way in. But I guess the question I wanted to ask you guys, because I think this position is such an interesting situation, because at the end of the day, like, I don't think that they're going to leave it completely unaddressed, but there also are ways to get creative here. If you guys had to look at the power forward position, kind of like the exact player you want, obviously you'd want spacing and defense, but do you think you can find that in like a big trade? I know Dylan has mentioned this. I don't know if you mentioned this on a podcast or just with you and I talking, where, like, if the Knicks pull off one of these big trades, whether it's for a Paul George type, you know, or whatever it may be, could they maybe like get a power forward, or maybe one of these big trades go down with like Lillard or Harden? I don't think the Knicks are getting Harden. I quite frankly don't really want Harden, but could they like have one of these power forwards get circumvented to them in a salary dump? Like, if that was the case, how likely do you think that is? And are there any guys you're looking at on these teams that are, you know, potentially going to get involved in big trades that you'd want on the Knicks? Justin, I'll pass it off to you.
Yeah, you know, I know Paul George was like a big subject for the Knicks recently, but like the Knicks are out of those talks for the most part. But if for whatever reason the talks resumed, I would love Marcus Morris again. I think that's a decent move. You know, it's a salary dump, like you said. He's been with the Knicks before, so he understands the culture. You know, he provides spacing. He's a veteran presence. He's not play a lot, but you're not asking him to play a whole lot. He's used to that. He's been playing in Kawhi Leonard on the Clippers. So, I mean, you know, I don't think that's a bad move. You know, someone like that would be okay. As far as trades, I'm not too sure, but Marcus Morris would be like, that would be a pretty good, that's like my, I guess, big fish, if you will, out of the trade market for a backup power forward. I mean, I know it's kind of like cliche, like, oh, we're going to trade for a backup power forward. Like, kind of like a whatever move. But if we were to do it, that would be like kind of like that would be my target, I guess.
Yeah, no, and I just want to add too, you know, I mean, I don't think Marcus Morris would be a bad idea. I think that'd be a solid fit. I mean, like you said, he's been on the team before, so he understands what it's like here in New York. You know, he provides spacing. He's, you know, he's got some size to him. He's not like a crazy good defender or anything like that. He's not going to be an explosive scorer or anything like that, but it's a depth move. You know, it's something you don't have to shell out too many assets for. You add some more draft picks in the Obi Toppin deal, so you have more draft capital to make that kind of move. And, you know, I agree with what you said. It sounds a little cliche saying like, oh, let's trade for a backup power forward. You don't really hear that. Usually you just go ahead and sign one to be the backup power forward. You just elevate somebody, you know? So I understand if there's like people that might say, oh, let's not waste our assets trading for a backup forward that's only going to play 10 to 15 minutes. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, the options in the market, there's not many left. A lot of them have, you know, already signed elsewhere or been traded elsewhere. So, you know, if you have to, you know, trade maybe a pick or two for a guy like Marcus Morris, I don't think that'll be the end of the world. I think that would be a pretty solid move, honestly. It would be a solid depth move. It provides stability. You know, you add more spacing, which is something the Knicks obviously desperately needed. That's what they addressed when they got DiVincenzo. But, you know, having Marcus Morris would be, you know, something solid. You know, like I said, it's not going to be anything crazy. It's not like, you know, oh my God, you just traded for a superstar. No, of course not. But, you know, won't be the end of the world thing. I think it would be something that the Knicks should definitely explore. Me personally, I still think they should look in the free agent market. I think that's where your best options lie right now, such as guys like, you know, like Ryan said, Derek Jones Jr., Grant Williams, Jermichael Green, guys like that. I feel like your best options lie in the free agent market right now, just in terms of fit and, you know, in terms of also giving up as many assets, save yourself a bit by exploring the free agent market over the trade market in this situation. But I don't think it'll be the end of the world if they were to get Marcus Morris. I mean, I liked him as a Knick when he was here. So, you know, there's something to explore. But like I said, I'm still kind of just more like just look in the free agent market for this. You can easily find someone to play that role in that area. So that's where I stand on it. Ryan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I feel like right now Marcus Morris would be really nice, especially considering that I feel like the Knicks bench is pretty strong defensively. Emmanuel Quickly is really taking a step forward as a defender. He's not just a solid defender right now. He's one of the better guard defenders in the NBA. Josh Hart, obviously, big guy in terms of his intensity. He's 6'2", 6'3", and he plays, like as Justin mentioned, like he plays like he's 6'6", 6'7", because of his rebounding, his ferocity. He's a very intense player on the court, and I think his defensive effort and his defensive numbers reflect that. Isaiah Hardenstein took a massive step forward defensively over the course of the season, and you imagine that maintains. And then you have situational guys, like you have a Miles McBride. Like you imagine Dante DiVincenzo right now is coming off the bench. I don't think that they're going to swap his role with Grimes just yet, but if they do, then Grimes would be the bench guy, and we know Grimes is a pretty good defender as well. Again, they have situational guys like McBride. Sims can step in as the backup center if need be. I know he had a down year last year, but his first year in the NBA was pretty encouraging, so I wonder if year three can look a little more like year one for him, though. As Justin alluded to, if I have to see Hart and Simon Sims on the same court, I'm probably just going to turn off my screen for a little bit until they are both off the court. But you know, with that being said, could they sacrifice a little bit of defense for some offense there? I think they could, but I think the reason that you want to have defense there at the position is simply because of the fact that there are going to be games where Julius Randle can't play, and you don't want to get, you know, absolutely run off the court defensively there. But it's not like Randle's a massive plus defensively. He's kind of more of a net negative defensively compared to other power forwards, but his physicality definitely makes him overall at least a presence in the interior. And then obviously Mitchell Robinson there. I mean, Mitchell Robinson, he beat Jared Allen so bad that now the Cavs are, I don't know if you guys saw that report, like the Cavs are considering trading Jared Allen because of the playoffs. Like he might have given Jared Allen PTSD. So Mitchell Robinson's cool with me on the interior, and I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure Julius Randle adds to that, but I don't think you're going to feel too much of a loss if you go from like Randle to Morris for a game or two. But you know, with that being said, I guess I wanted to kind of ask one final question, and that's, you know, what related to the power forward position, you know, if it came down to it, would you rather the Knicks overpay for a power forward? Not by a significant margin. I'm not saying like throw $20 million at Grant Williams. I mean, more like, you know, would you rather the Knicks make like what you feel like is a slight overpay, or would you rather the Knicks just run it back at the position? Like, how desperate do you think the Knicks should be for that backup power forward?
Power forward Like, I don't think they should shell out a whole bunch of assets or money for a backup power forward to play 10 minutes a game. You know, and like I said earlier, we have Josh Hart, who basically plays like a power forward. He plays bigger than the power forward we had for the past 2 or 3 years, you know? So I don't think it's a desperate move. We have DiVincenzo off the bench. So you have two ball handlers off the bench. Now Hart can play like the kind of like a big rebounder, kind of like force, I guess, like you said, the ferocity and stuff like that. So I don't think it's desperate. I mean, ideally, I would prefer to go get a backup power forward. Obviously, like, I don't want to run it back with a small of the world if they don't do that. You know what I mean? Hart can handle it. I have faith in that, to be honest. I mean, that's where I stand on that, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and you know what? I kind of agree with you. You know, that's precisely why I said that the Knicks should look in the free agent market if they want to add another power forward, because I don't think it's really worth shelling out a bunch of assets that you could use in future bigger trades or anything like that for a guy that's going to play 10 to 15 minutes. It just wouldn't make sense to me, honestly. You know, if you did a very small trade, like a literally one pick for another guy, that's different. But if you're going to shell out a couple picks and possibly even a player for a backup power forward, then that's a waste of a trade, in my opinion. That's why I said you should, if they're going to add, you look in the free agent market. But it's also like I agree with you, Justin. You know, they don't need to be desperate with this. This isn't like a must need. You have an all-NBA starting power forward already. And you already know he's going to play the bulk of the minutes. He's going to play 30 to 35 minutes a game. Like, that's already a guarantee at this point. Maybe even more than that, more like 35 to 40 almost at this rate. So that's like a guarantee. So, you know, of course, with that being said, I don't think it's like essential that the Knicks get a backup power forward. I don't think they have to do it. Do I think they should? I feel like they should, just, you know, if in the free agent market, I feel like they should, you know, add some stability, add a full rotation. Don't try to run your guys into the dirt for a full 82 game season, running a 9-man rotation and having a non-traditional backup four. But with that being said, if they do end up doing just that, it's not the end of the world. I think they'll still be a very good team, even if they don't add another backup power forward. You know, I think this team is well equipped to handle it. Like you said, Josh Hart plays like he's taller, so, you know, I think he'll be just fine handling that role. I just worry about doing it for a full season. I think it's a reasonable concern, but at the same time, I don't think it's like something that you have to completely stray away from. I feel like Hart can do it. I just want to be sure that he can do it. It's something more just like I need reassurance that he can definitely do it for a full season and do it without, one, the risk of getting hurt, and two, you know, without it being a complete mismatch on the defensive side. That's like my lone concern. If I didn't have that concern, I'd be saying the Knicks don't need to add a backup four at all, you know, just run it with this roster. But with that being said, that's why I'm more like leaning towards maybe look in the free agent market and see if you could get someone on a cheap deal. You're going to have to clear cap space anyway, because you got Fournier's contract still on the books. So you're going to have some money to be able to sign somebody. And you're obviously not going to sign, like, you know, I don't think you should be shelling out $20 million a year to Grant Williams. I don't think you should be doing that. If Grant Williams' price is too expensive, or if, like, the Celtics are willing to pay him much more money than the Knicks would, then you got to get away from Grant Williams. You can't pay him $20 million a year. You can't do that. If you're going to sign a backup forward, it's going to have to be for less than $10 million a year. It has to be. You can't sign a backup forward to a massive contract. You just can't do it. That's why if Grant Williams doesn't work out, look towards like maybe like a Jermichael Green, because he'll be cheaper and he'll still provide some good stability and some good shooting. You know, that's the big thing. They badly need a guy that, you know, is a reliable shooter if they're going to get a backup four. And guys like Grant Williams, Jermichael Green are reliable shooters. They have been for the majority of their career. They both play tough physical defense. They both play hard. So, you know, it's always nice to have that depth piece, but like I've been saying, it's not exactly 100% necessary. If they don't do it, they don't do it. I don't think this team will be a bad team if they don't do it. I think this team will still be very good if they don't add any more pieces the rest of the way. I just think it would be nice to do it just to fortify a full rotation and keep everyone healthy and, you know, just have more depth. You can always have, you never can have too much depth at this stage. So that's the way I see it. I mean, you know, if you guys think differently, that's different. If any of you guys watching think differently, then so be it. We agree to disagree. That's kind of where I stand on it. I would like to see them add a backup four, but if they don't, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think they should trade for one, though. I think they need to look in the free agent market. So that's where I stand on it. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I think you guys made excellent points there. You know, I feel like out of all the things the Knicks needed this offseason, which was, you know, shooting and defense, which you get that with Dante DiVincenzo, and, you know, quite frankly, you didn't feel like you have a massive issue with most of the guys in the rotation. You know, the one guy that you feel like didn't fit in was Obi Toppin, and then you traded him. You know, the backup power forward spot, if that was the position they were going to leave unaddressed, if that was the one that they were going to leave, you know, kind of for the internal guys to fix, you know, I think that was the one we were okay with them, you know, kind of leaving internally to fix. I think they needed to add a shooter way more than they needed to add a backup power forward. I still would like them to add a backup power forward, but I wouldn't consider it a failure if, as you mentioned, they don't get a guy who can't play, who can play 10 to 15 minutes a game directly behind Julius Randle. And of course, you know, you're trying to monitor the market. We're pretty early into free agency and the trade market, all things considered. Like, we haven't even officially, like, none of these deals are even official. Technically, the Toppin trade hasn't happened yet. Technically, the DiVincenzo signing hasn't happened yet. None of that will be official until tomorrow. But, you know, with that being said, you know, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say in the comment section below regarding the power forward position, whether you guys have any, you know, names that you think the Knicks should be interested that we didn't discuss. If you guys feel like the Knicks shouldn't add to the power forward position, that's also something we'd like to hear you guys comment about. You know, we'd love to get your opinions there. You guys can tweet at us. Our personal Twitter accounts are above our heads. You guys can check out the Fireside Knicks Twitter, of course. We're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course this YouTube page. The audio version of this podcast will be out on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Check out Empire Sports Media for all your favorite New York sports content. I know that Dylan referenced an article he did on Jermichael Green. Not only does Dylan do articles, Justin does articles as well. So show them both some love. And you guys can check out ESM for all your favorite New York sports team. We've got you guys covered on that front. And, you know, welcome Justin to the pod. Justin, this is first pod, and we're very glad to have him here. We're very glad to really have him as a third option, especially considering that, well, the podcast has just been Dylan and I for a decent bit. I know you guys see Alex every now and then. So, you know, having some new faces and having, you know, new voices to talk on the Knicks is definitely fun. We hope to get his perspective on a lot of different things. And again, remember, check out Empire Sports Media. He's got articles coming out there all the time. So there's that. And again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys in the next Fireside Knicks episode. Peace out, everyone.